You have your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to the, I don't know if you can see that any better than I can. You see the text at the top corner? I can't see it either. Job, the first chapter, first verse. Job 1:1. There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we approach the throne of grace, Lord, thank you for this day and the blessings that you have given us. Lord, just ask that as we turn your heart, our hearts unto your word, Lord, that we may come to you with serious hearts, Lord, and expecting to know more about you and know how to better serve you. Lord, we're thankful for the men and women who've gone before, Lord, who's given us examples that we may follow, Lord, that we may see how a right relationship with you can be lived. Lord, just ask that you be at the prayer requests, the burdened hearts. Ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. I thought about winking at you and seeing how many of you switched chairs, but this morning, as we consider Job, I'm going to start a series of sermons. Not going to promise you that I'm going to do them one sermon after another. I'm going to be preaching some out of the book of Job. And if the Lord lays on my heart another sermon for a different week, I will do that. But from time to time, I'm going to be coming back to Job. There's been some interesting things that over the years that Job has changed for me. One of the things about Job that we note is that he was a man of patience, right? That's what the Bible says. Matter of fact, the New Testament says of Job, we see the verse. It says, Behold, we count them happy, and I'm reading down here on the screen if you're not sure why I'm looking down here, which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and that the Lord and of tender mercy. The New Testament reminds us of the patience of Job. But you know, there's so much more about Job. One of the things that is interesting about Job, when we talk this morning about the first chapter, is that Job was an old man in the first chapter. He had adult children who had their own families. Job was known for certain things before he was ever known of a man of patience. Job was a mature, faithful child of God before we ever get to chapter 2. And sometimes we miss that. And the other thing that I want to consider in the book of Job is some of the dialogue that Job and God has. There's so many aspects of Job's life, not just the fact that he endured great things for God and remain faithful. That in itself is worth our consideration, the patience of Job. But Job is much more than just patient. We find in this verse, James 5:11, it says, Behold, we count them happy which endure. Think about that statement. We count them happy. We give them credit
happy that endure. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, is full of people who endured. Noah, Adam, Enoch, Abraham, Samson, many faithful people of God are listed in that chapter because of their faithfulness. And here, James talks about happy. Sometimes when we're going through things and having to endure, it is the farthest thing from our mind thinking that this is happy. That this is beneficial to our happiness, to our well-being as a person and our relationship to God. But James said that somehow Job had happiness as a result of this. And we're going to look at the end of the book and see how that the endurance of Job was beneficial for Job. And it says, ye have heard of the patience. And it says there and goes on, and have seen the end of the Lord. Too often, when trials and temptations come along, we never get to see the end because we give up. Job didn't give up. He didn't always understand, and we're going to talk about that, but he didn't give up. We wouldn't be talking about the happiness of those that endure if they didn't see the end. Paul talks about those in which he was encouraging, and he says, you as children of God, as Christians, you started so well. Who hindered you? I think of so many people that just in my life that started their Christian life faithful to God, so committed to God, that if you ask them, would they ever stop serving God, they would say no. If you could look forward and tell them that 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you're going to be doing this, you're going to be doing that, they would look at you and they would call you a liar. And yet, how many do not continue to serve God? How committed to God are you today? Now, serving God tomorrow comes from commitment of serving God today. But it's not just your commitment today. It is also your commitment tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. And often the choices that we make undermine our commitment. That there would be no way that we could continue to be faithful because of other choices we make. We may be committed, but we're making choices that undermine that. And Job is a wonderful example of how not to undermine our commitment for God. And then the latter part, it says that the Lord is very pitiful. I don't know. That word doesn't, for me, describe very well the Lord, because when I think of pitiful, you know, you look at somebody and you think, boy, isn't that pitiful? Or you look at something that's dilapidated and you call it pitiful. But the idea of the word literally means compassionate. The Lord has pity. The Lord has compassion. And isn't it fascinating that we're talking about those who endure, the patience of Job, and the Lord has compassion and mercy? The Lord saw everything that Job went through and had compassion. Jesus, during his ministry, certain people would come to him, and because of their condition, it says, Jesus was moved with compassion. When Jesus sees our hearts, he is moved with compassion. I believe God is a God that knows us personally. And I believe that he still is moved with passion. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, talks about that. A God who knows our very feelings. He knows who we are and what we are. And so as we talk about Job, we're not going to just talk about Job. We're going to be talking about the Lord and how He sees us and how we interact with God. Just a little bit of setting about Job. The book of Job is about an individual who lived during the time of Abraham, the time of patriarchs. This is somewhat important to the book and to our sermons because it was during a time in which that people worship God differently. God has had people worship Him differently in different ages, but the worship of God hasn't changed. The focus of the worship of God hasn't changed. The method by which people worship God changed. In Abraham's time, in Job's time, the patriarch, the oldest member of the family, served as high priest. They would come before God and they would offer a sacrifice on behalf of the family. Now, during the Old Testament, that changed, in which the nation of Israel was the mechanism by which one worshiped God through the sacrifices of the nation. Now, today in the New Testament, we worship God through the Lord's church. So the mechanism has changed, but the God we worship has not changed. That's very important. So we find here in the first verse, Job 1:1, there was a man. Just think about that for a minute. Job was written about a man during the time of Abraham, written after the time of Israel has already been established as a nation, and the worship is through Israel as a nation and the sacrifices of the tabernacle and the temple. And the writer starts by saying, there was a man. Why this man? Why Job? Why not his neighbor Fred? Well, we're going to get to that. This was a unique man. But the other thing I want us to consider, sometimes it's easy to say, well, that was Job. Job was special. Job was a human being, and he had no more ability to serve God than you and I. So there was a man that God is going to use as an example to show us how to better serve God. And he lived in the land of Uz, and that is today modern day Iraq, the border of Saudi Arabia. That's kind of interesting to note just because of the history of what's going on in that area, that he lived in that territory. And so it goes on and it says, whose name was Job. And that man was known for some things. I want you to look at that. What was he known for? He was known, that man was perfect, upright, one that feared God, and eschewed evil. That's what his reputation was. That's what Job was about. Before we ever get to the New Testament, before we ever get to chapter 2 to chapter 40, before we ever get to Job knowing how to deal with all the horrific things that are going to be put upon him, and what are some of those things? Satan is allowed to take everything that Job has away from him. That will be another sermon, but we need context for this morning. He loses all of his riches, all of his family, all of his health, anything that Job had that he could say, this is a possession, that this is mine, it's gone. He doesn't have anything. All is gone. And what is so fascinating that as Job lives through that, we accredit him with patience. And oftentimes as we go through difficult things, people will remind us, look at Job. And if you're going through something difficult, what a wonderful book to read. I would encourage you to do that. But don't forget, before Job got to the point in which he had to endure all, he was already a faithful child of God. He was already known for things. I believe that if Job hadn't been these things, if these four things had not have been what Job was about, perfect, upright, fearing God, eschewing evil, would have never have gotten to the patience of Job. The patience of Job comes from these qualities of a child of God. What does it mean to be perfect? What does that mean? Paul says, not that I've already obtained or am perfect, but that I follow after. And the word in the New Testament literally means a mature child of God. If anything, we can say Job was mature in the Lord. We're going to look at some of the things that he did and how mature the decisions he made. Immature people make immature choices, make bad choices that lead to problems for the child of God. And Job made mature choices. He was perfect. He was mature. He had a relationship with God. He was upright. The idea there is that he loved righteousness. God is upright. You know, Job was who he said he was. When you had a problem with Job, you knew where he was coming from. You knew what he was about. Job was also one that feared God. What a wonderful description. We so often talk about fear, that it shouldn't be fear and that I'm afraid. But there's all kinds of things that this word has to do with. It has to do with respect. It has to do with understanding of who God is. I think I have shared with you that respect comes from knowing who somebody is. I respected my father. If he told me to do something, I had enough respect for him that I felt like I should do it. That's kind of the way God is. We should have enough respect that God has a reputation that what he says, he can do. That's part of fearing God, having respect. But the other aspect of fear and that respect is also knowing that a healthy dose of fear isn't bad. I also understood that if I disobeyed my dad, that there was a reason to be afraid. Not that he was going to kill me. Oh, there were times that was my fear. And I might even have said that. Oh, no, when I get home, my dad's going to kill me. And my playmates probably understood, well, Jeff will never be back to play again. But the idea was, is that I was going to be punished for something I had done wrong. And did you know that God punishes us? And there are times in which that when we are disobedient, we can look to God and we can say, I deserve to be corrected. I don't like it, and I don't necessarily want it, but there are times in which we know we have sinned. And I think Job was one who not just served out of respect, but also served out of knowing disobedience is corrected. There is both, isn't there? I didn't obey my dad just because of the punishment. I also obeyed him because I loved him, I respected him, I wanted to honor him. Aren't those some of the reasons we obey God? Because we love him, we respect him, we want to honor him. And we know that what God says, he is faithful. God is worthy of our respect and our fear. And Job was also one, it says there, that he eschewed evil, or he hated the very presence of sin. Too often we as children of God can get comfortable with sin. We need to be careful that in our daily life, in our house, in our family, in our church, that we don't become comfortable with evil. We can't stop evil, but we don't have to tolerate evil. And it's interesting that Job was known for these things. So as it says here, there was a man that lived in Uz, and he was known for four things. I want you to pause this morning for just a moment and finish that sentence. There was a man, there was a woman, there was a child, there was a boy, there was a girl. In Aloha, in Beaverton, in Hillsboro, in Portland, wherever you live. And he, she was known for. What would you put there about you? Isn't it interesting that verse 1, we have recorded what the author thought of Job. Lists four things, doesn't it? The author says he was four things. What would others say about you? There was a man, there was a woman, there was a boy, there was a girl. In Aloha. And what would someone else say about you? What four characteristics would they describe? Would they describe any of these? Perfect, upright, feared God, eschewed evil. Before we go any farther, I want you to go down to verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? God speaking to Satan says that there is none like him in the earth. A perfect, an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. I had never made the connection until I was studying for this morning's sermon that what the author said of Job was the exact opinion that God had of Job. You know, there are times in which people probably think that Jeff Harlan is okay. You might look at me and think that I fear God. You may look at me and say that I eschew evil. You might look at me and say some of those things. But there are some days God looks at me and that's not his testimony of me. Did you know that that's kind of different sometimes? And yet the testimony that man had of Job was the exact same testimony that God had of Job. That's impressive to me. That God would say of this man that he was mature. That God would say of this man that he hated evil. That God would say of this man, he fears me. And that word feared can be translated so many ways. It can be translated, Job respects me. Job honors me. But one of my favorite ways of translating that, God looked at Job and says, Job loves me. What a testimony. And all those elements are wrapped up in that thought of fear. You know, oftentimes what we think of ourselves isn't even what God thinks of us. There was an opportunity in which people came in front of God and they got reviewed. And their review was different than God's view. In Matthew, the 24th chapter, the Pharisees, Jesus says, "Woe unto you Pharisees and scribes." And he adds this word, "Ye hypocrites." If the Pharisees were to describe themselves to you, they would say, "We are upright. We are perfect. We fear God. We hate evil." Jesus, God himself, looked at them and says, "You're hypocrites." You know what that word means? It means that you act one way and are actually something else. It means to put on a mask. It means to pretend. And oftentimes we pretend to be serving God to the very extent that we convince ourselves that we are those things. And the list of who we are and the list of who God says we are doesn't match up. It's not the same. What an important thing to take inventory of who we are. Verses 3 and 4 talks about verses 2 and 3 talk about Job's family. And it talks about his possessions. And you can read that for your own on your own. But verse 4, it says, his sons went and feasted in their houses, meaning they were mature adults, had their own families, everyone his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and drink with them. Now, this feast is described in dealing with Abraham is days in which they would worship God. So these were days in which they came together to honor and to worship God. In verse 5, it says that when these days of their feasting were gone or were done, when they were over, Job sent and sanctified them. Before we ever get to what Job has to do with everything he loses, I want to show you how he responds to what he has. I think that's so important. For later on, Job is going to lose all of his children. They're going to die. Job is going to lose all of his animals. They're going to die. Everything he has is going to be gone. And how he responds to that is important. That's how we get the patience of Job. But sometimes it's not about what we don't have in our relationship to God, but it's what we do with what we do have. Does that make sense? And Job not only was able to cope with what he didn't have, more importantly, he was able to cope with what he did have. And these children, as an adult, and when their worship was over, Job called them, sent them, and gathered them together, and sanctified them. Isn't that interesting? They've just gotten done serving God, worshiping God, and Job called them together and sanctified them. What does that mean? He set them apart for the service of God. These were adult children. They were old enough to make their own choices. But in a patriarchal family, in a patriarchal worship, it was the eldest member of the family, especially the male, who was responsible for the spiritual well-being of that family. In other words, Job was kind of like what we'd have today as the pastor. The pastor kind of oversees the spiritual welfare of the congregation. The high priest in the Old Testament, in the days of Israel as a nation, oversaw the spiritual welfare of those that worshiped with him, that brought sacrifices. That is what Job did. It was his responsibility to look out for their spiritual welfare. And here they had just gotten done with worship, and yet he was still concerned, and he brought them together, and he sanctified them. See, I think Job handled well what he didn't have because he handled well what he did have. Job's relationship with God was so important, it was important that he pass that on to his children, even his adult children. His responsibility to them and their relationship with God didn't stop when they moved out into their own house. Every one of his children had their own house. And yet, he still communicated to them the importance of God. And it goes on and it says, that rose up in the morning, and he offered burnt offerings according to them all, or for each and every one of them. And Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned. It may be that they may have cursed God in their hearts. He not only was concerned with what they did, but what they even thought about doing. They may not have done it. He talks about the actions, sin, they may have done it, and then he talks about even their thoughts. So we find that Job lifted up his family and what he did with all of his riches. It talks about how many thousands of sheep, how many mules and donkeys, and how many great things that he had, and how many oxen he had, and what it talks about in reference to what Job did with all these riches is he was concerned with his children's relationship with God, and he took these possessions and he offered them as a sacrifice on behalf of his children. Isn't that incredible? So with the riches that he had, he was concerned with the relationship of others with God. What do we do with what we have? Do we use it for the relationship of others with God? If Job lived today, I think he would be a great supporter of the church. I think he would be a great supporter of missions. I think he would be a great supporter of those that were in need. What do you think? What I think is important to note is what Job did with what he has. For if he didn't know how to handle what he had, he had never been able to handle what he didn't have. I think that's so important. In the last part of verse 5, if there is something that I could pull out as a phrase that I want you to get, if you get nothing else this morning, please hear this. Thus did Job continually. What a phrase. You know, you could probably take a snapshot of my life, and if you caught me at the right day, at the right moment, maybe you could say, Jeff Harlan was perfect, upright, feared God, and eschewed evil. But I'm afraid that if on some days you might take a snapshot, you may not have that testimony. But interesting of Job, it says, thus did Job continually. One of the things that we struggle with in our Christian life, it's called being consistent. We don't know how to be consistent. We allow things to get in our life to keep us from being consistent. You know, we talk about traditions, and sometimes that word just scares us to death. There are some things that in the life of a child of God that should happen regularly. If you want to call it a tradition, if you want to call it a ritual, you can call it many things, but they need to be continual. They should be prayer. If it is a tradition that you pray at mealtime, if it is a ritual, it needs to be continual. It needs to be heartfelt. We should study the Word of God. That should be continual. We should be consistent in our attendance of worship services. And we could list so many other things that should be consistent. Sometimes we look at our life and we find ourselves in a mess and we say, I just don't get it. I don't understand why I'm here. I'm struggling with my relationship with God. And often it's because we haven't been consistent. There's another word for consistent that the Bible uses more regularly. It's called faithful. If we would handle the faithful part, our relationship with God would handle itself. So often we're not faithful in those things that it takes to maintain a good relationship with God. I thought about doing this, but I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to talk to you about it. I thought about giving every one of you a piece of paper. And on that paper, I would have you write these things. How often in the last month I prayed to God. How often in the last month I studied my Bible. How often in the last month I was faithful in the attendance of church and worship. And then I would wanted you, after you answered those questions, might kind of tally those up in your mind. If every time that I prayed to God, and you had a total there, if those were the only times I ever talked to my spouse or my children, would they think I was a good communicator? What would the answer be? How often did I read the Word of God? On my own. Yeah, we come together and we read it in scripture, in services, but how often do you pick it up during the week? If those were the times in which I went and paid attention to my wife or my children, would they feel that I was attentive? The times in which I attended church, those were the times in which I made a special time for my wife or my children. Would they feel that my time is important for them? I think often the relationship, if our relationship with God was translated to our other relationships, those other relationships wouldn't be working very well. And you might say, well, those relationships aren't working very well either. Well, that could be true. And maybe it is a consistent, being consistent in those relationships too. It's hard to have a relationship with others when we don't have a relationship with God. And it's hard to have a relationship with God when we don't have a relationship with others. It works both ways, doesn't it? But Job, thus did Job continually. It could say, thus did Job consistently. It could say, thus did Job because of his faithfulness. Those are all words it could use for Job. And yet, when we get to the New Testament, Job is known for what? Patience. You know, Job was not a one-dimensional child of God. Job was many things. Let's all stand.